In the first editorial in our pages, our founder asked, "What's in a name?" Our friend and colleague, Good Luck Ajay, has his own riff on that question today. People have been asking him about his first name ever since he came to the U.S. to study. Growing up in Nigeria, he'd never thought to ask his parents how they chose it. But over time, living abroad, he's found his own meaning. His name is a part of home he carries with him. We do some unraveling today, too, of high and lower profile news, from the tangled consequences of U.S. boat strikes to how Western Europe is addressing the role of social media in attacks on schools, which have flared. It's Wednesday, December 3rd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our staff writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Two presidential candidates in Honduras are locked in a virtual tie days after an election that gained global attention due to U.S. interference. President Donald Trump endorsed right-wing candidate Nasri Asfura, who leads by just 515 votes, and pledged to pardon a former Honduran president convicted of drug trafficking, a member of Mr. Asfura's party. Mr. Trump alleged voter fraud Monday without evidence. His actions highlight his administration's push to solidify conservative allies in Latin America, experts say. Canada has become the first non-European Union member to join the bloc's new defense fund, the Security Action for Europe. The fund was established earlier this year to fortify Europe against an expansionist Russia or any attack without the guarantee of American defense protection. Canada has been seeking to diversify its military spending away from the U.S. market since President Trump began his second term, threatening to make Canada its 51st state. Also, mass killings are at their lowest point in the U.S. since 2006. That's despite a shooting at a California birthday party this past weekend that left 4 people dead. There have been 17 mass killings this year, down 24% from last year, according to a database that the Associated Press helps maintain. At this time of year in 2019, the nation had seen more than 40. Criminologists welcome the data, but say it's too early to declare a trend, given how rare these events are. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. Though the Trump administration says its strikes on alleged drug boats in the Caribbean are allowed, its tactics are raising questions around potential war crimes and generating support for more congressional oversight. Anna Maureen Groba reports for The Monitor. A year after an Israel-Hezbollah ceasefire, the Lebanese people are still caught in the middle. The ceasefire requires Hezbollah to disarm and Israel to withdraw. Neither has happened, even as Beirut works to fulfill its part of the bargain. Scott Peterson reports from Alma al-Shaab in Beirut, Lebanon, for The Monitor. Violence at schools, committed by students or former students, has been a growing problem in Europe over recent years. For teachers and officials, the solution is to restrict youth's access to social media, though that's easier said than done. Colette Davidson and Hannah Gurka report from Noja, France, in Boston for The Monitor. The trials of black families did not end with emancipation. Separation, coercion, and betrayal followed in the wake of slavery and demanded bravery and solidarity. Aaron Douglas writes for The Monitor. Names are often laden with meaning about our heritage. For our essayist, his name is a thread that connects him to home, a reminder of the rich traditions he carries with him everywhere he goes. Good Luck Ajay writes for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on pinning a Ukraine peace to principles. The Trump administration's drive to end the war in Ukraine, initially under a plan that favored Moscow's terms, has hit a big speed bump, American allies in Europe are demanding that Russia be held accountable for war crimes, such as the abduction of Ukrainian children and the execution of prisoners of war. For Ukrainians, real peace demands at least truth-telling, if not justice for such violations of international law. For Europe, too, any deal that wipes the slate clean for Russia would be sowing the seeds of the next round of aggression and the next invasion, says Michael McGrath, the European Commissioner for Justice and Democracy. We cannot give up on the rights of the victims of Russian aggression and Russian crimes, he told Politico. Why is Europe so adamant on this point? For one, it saw the worst of warfare during the 20th century. But in 1975, it helped set up the world's largest regional security organization, which included the Soviet Union, under a politically binding agreement known as the Helsinki Final Act. The pact has since been a beacon for universal values, such as the innocence of non-combatants in a conflict. It also led to a new body, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, OSCE, that monitors breaches of international law as well as election law in European countries, as well as in Canada and the United States. Russia remains a member, although an obstructionist one, because it has long viewed the security arrangement as a pathway to someday dominating Europe without an American presence. On December 4th and 5th, the 57 participating states of the OSCE will gather in Vienna for an annual ministerial meeting. A hot topic is how to reset the rules of war and humanitarian law by using the organization as a vehicle. In September, for example, an investigation by the OSCE found Russia had violated international law in its treatment of POWs. The evasion was a brutal rejection of the norms that have preserved peace in Europe for decades, said Elina Valtonen, Finland's foreign minister and current chair of the OSCE. In October, Russian President Vladimir Putin spelled out his gripe about the organization. What was the OSCE created for? To resolve complex situations in Europe. And what did it all boil down to? The entire activity of the OSCE reduced to becoming a platform for discussing, for example, human rights in the post-Soviet space. For Ukraine, the principles that uphold rights are not an abstraction. They are being defended from the battlefield to basement bunkers. A peace plan that restores those rights and holds Russia accountable for trampling on them is the ultimate measure of peace. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we obey the voice of the divine, we're led to exactly what we need. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Audrey Thiebert, and Mackenzie Farkas.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.